introducing person here, Bill Jordan, is going to tell us about using natural fiber reinforcement for adobe brick making.
How does this work? 4 years? Down here?
Does it work, or do you have to use it?
What, these two?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. I'm speaking today about using natural fiber reinforcement for adobe brick making. You see, I have four co-authors. This is a product of an independent research study class last fall at Baylor. Two of those students were undergraduates, and two of them were graduate students. One of the results of this course is one of the undergraduates is now one of our graduate students, which is also part of the goal of what we want to do. For a long time, I really wanted to do materials research that has some sort of Christian faith motivations. I did my PhD in carbon fiber reinforced polymeric materials, which was sponsored by the Air Force, and I really had a good time. That's a lot of the sort of things I've done for most of my career. But as I get in the latter third of my career, I want to have more Christian implications. And my work with natural fiber composites has allowed me to do this. So the last 2 years at ASEE, there have been papers that either I authored or co-authored that were on that theme. 2 years ago, I did a presentation about Christian humanitarian engineering. And at Baylor, that's developed a great deal since that point. I'm pleased to be able to say that this fall in our generic engineering major, there will be an option for our humanitarian engineering concentration. And there's already a great deal of interest by many of our students in that. 2 years ago in Nashville, my graduate student Joshua Reed talked about natural fiber composites, looking at fiber-reinforced polymers using banana fibers. It's interesting we're at ORU because he was a bachelor's degree graduate from ORU. And last year, I had a paper about using things from banana plants to get rid of heavy metals in water. That was a result of another independent student project where the students went beyond what I thought they would do. I was originally thinking of mechanical properties of materials, and they thought of, let's look at some other things you could do from that. One of my colleagues at Baylor, Stephen Evans, a philosophy professor, has done a lot of thinking about what is academic scholarship from a Christian perspective. And he puts that into three broad categories. One is what he calls purely vocational Christian scholarship, and that is where we do things that don't have worldview issues necessarily. They're not Christian, but because we are Christian, we do them well. You know, and we honestly serve our employer, and we serve mankind in the broad sense by creating cool new things they can use. And most of my technical papers are like that. I presented some of my work at a natural fiber composites conference in the Azores this April, and that was an example of that. What Evans calls implicit Christian scholarship is a lot of my current research on natural fiber composite materials. The experiments I do aren't any different from anyone a secular person might do, but my motive, why do I want to do this, is significantly from my Christian perspective. And many papers at this conference were of that nature, including this one. And then there's what he calls explicit Christian scholarship, which would include many other papers at this conference that were explicitly about Christian themes and how you relate them to your particular discipline. Evans recommends that when he asks the question, which one of these should Christians do in academia, and he says all of them, and I agree with that. And I've done all three of these in the last year in terms of different types of venues doing presentations of a different sort. So one of my ultimate goals is we want to be able to create products from natural fibers that will help poor people by creating markets for things that they now throw away. I was inspired to do this by my now retired colleague from Baylor, Walter Bradley, who did lots of things with coconuts. Well, I'd taken engineering students to Rwanda 5 times to do projects, and I try to think, what do they have in Rwanda that they don't really use, but they have a lot of, and it's banana plants. You know, they sell the fruit part, but what I think of as the stock part, really called the pseudostem, is just thrown away. Sometimes it's just burnt up and not even used for cooking, just to get rid of it. So that is a potential product. Also, the idea is lots of companies are under pressure to be more green, for lack of a better term. And if you can make a good quality product using natural fibers compared to artificial fibers, there will be a market for that in the West as people who want to be more environmentally friendly. So while these goals have humanitarian Christian perspectives, we're a long ways away from developing products. In most of what I'm doing, we're really still characterizing these fibers. Well, last fall in this class, they all came into it saying, I advertised it as we're going to look at natural fiber materials and do some research about it. I didn't tell them it had to be mechanical properties. I didn't tell them my main research in this area is fiber-reinforced polymers, but I wanted to leave it open-ended. So the students spent several weeks doing a literature search, and that this is their statement of what they think that they wanted to do. They said, as Christian engineers, we're called to use our skills to help others, but this is not simple. Many developing countries have economies dependent on agricultural systems with a small income and a significant waste product. Turning the bio-waste of these economies into an additional source of revenue can increase the standard of living. To this end, the bio-waste of these economies was used to strengthen an economical construction material, adobe, to compose a natural composite product. One of our students was from Mexico, and he had seen where he grew up at lots of adobe bricks, homes that didn't last very well. So he had a particular interest in adobe. One of the big challenges to doing research with natural fibers is a statistical issue. Natural fibers, because they're natural, they're not all the same. I mean, if you're doing stuff, as I've done a lot of carbon fibers, they make them by the trillions, they're extremely uniform. But here, two fibers on the same plant aren't uniform. So there's a lot more variation in the data, and that makes for some increased complexity. So we need to figure out how to take this variability into consideration, and we're still struggling a little bit with that. So again, as I said, this was a product of an independent study group in the fall of 2014 with two undergraduates and two graduate students. And I gave them a very open-ended statement and gave them a few weeks to try to figure out what they wanted to do. So they chose this particular topic. They did the literature search. They obtained whatever materials they needed to obtain and finished this all in 15 weeks. So this is what a group of students who are dedicated to this particular project could do in 15 weeks. So they looked at, my original interest was in banana fibers, and it still is. They also looked at sisal fibers and coir fibers as well. We already had banana fibers on hand. They had to figure out a way to buy sisal and coir fibers, and they were able to do that. So, you know, where do some of these fibers come from? Well, they come from all sorts of different looking plants in different places of the world. I start off with sisal coir fibers coming from coconuts, and then banana fibers are coming from this region here. There's not the leaves we're looking at, it's this region. Well, people are already making a lot of things out of banana plants. Here you see someone in the developing world using a small machine without hardly any safeguards that kind of squishes out all the soft polymeric material and leaves the fibers. He puts it in one end and pulls it out, then grabs the fibers that are left from the other end and pushes it in again. This is an extremely dangerous way to do it, but I've seen a whole bunch of different people do it that way. But there are automatic processes where you could get rid of the mushy, that's not a scientific term, material, you know, and end up with the fibers. And here you see again banana plants. What we're using is the pseudostem, and you actually can buy pseudostems if you look around. And we bought pseudostem untreated. Another one would be the coconut. These husks will contain fibers if you process them, but a lot of places that sell, you know, harvest what's inside the coconut, the part people like to eat or for coconut oil or whatever, and these typically just get thrown away, maybe burnt up. And sisal fibers are live out frequently in very low water environments. It survives hot climate, so the sisal fibers people already make into ropes, among other things. It's a very strong, resistant material. So adobe, we looked at simple adobe bricks made basically from sand and clay. It doesn't take a lot of energy. They're pretty good insulators. They're relatively fire resistant. They're pretty environmentally friendly. You don't produce CO2. But if that's all you have in it, and you're in a wet environment like I saw in Rwanda, your house will kind of slowly dissolve away. I've heard people say in some place in Africa, you have three homes. You have the home that's dissolved away, the one you're living in, and the one you're building, because the one you're living in will kind of dissolve away in the wet environment. So if you put something in it to keep it together a little bit, it could be more helpful to you. So can we use these fibers to reinforce adobe? And are you going to get what sort of product improvement? Here you see banana fibers, and we'll show you some other products. This looks like it's filled with fibers, but by volume, that's about, excuse me, by weight, that's about 2% fibers. So we weren't very sophisticated. These were things we purchased, cut up with scissors to get to be chopped fibers so that we could process it. We compressed them using an MTS tensile machine. This was our ultimate test. Basically, they just pushed it together physically into kind of little molds that for bricks, because they want to try and simulate what's going on in the developing world where you don't have a lot of pressure necessarily to put it together. One of the things you have to deal with this fiber is water absorption. So the critical thing is to look at weight of these fibers and then what's their weight after you soak them in water. Notice banana fibers went from 4 grams to 30 grams when they're wet. You know, the least damaging one, sisal, went from 4 grams to 12 grams. That's a huge change in mass. And part of the reason is these fibers are not what I think of like a glass or carbon fiber. They are very porous. So the banana fibers absorbed most of the water. The corn sisal ones still absorbed a lot of water, but at a lower amount. So if you're going to use these in wet tropical environments as bricks in homes, the banana fiber one is probably not the one you want to use unless you want to coat it. The photo to the SM photo to the left from my graduate student Joshua Weed showed you how porous the banana fiber is and why they can absorb so much mass because they absorb so much water. The sisal fiber one is not at the same magnification, but it's not nearly as porous. I mean, you look at that, the volume fraction of that solid is not very much. Yeah. So you could absorb a lot of moisture in those banana fibers. We had no idea when we started how porous some of these natural fibers really were. So look at some of our data. We did mixes of sand to clay and to look at various ones. Here we see, this is just a compression test of just adobe with nothing else added to it, and you see how it just kind of breaks into pieces pretty easily if you have the wrong mix. It looks like more sand to clay is better, within reason. So we did some tests where we compressed it at a constant rate, so that bottom graph is not strain but time, and we found that again a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 sand to clay tend to carry the biggest stress levels. So we did this to try to get the best possible result before we then added fibers to it. One of the things that we said it was 1-to-2 or 2-to-1 or 3-to-2 sand and clay, we went to our friends in the geology department to analyze it and found out we have sand and clay and silt. So we have what we thought would say 2-to-1 was 2.3-to-1 to 1.57 silt. So what we thought we had is not quite what we had. Clearly, the more sand to clay within reason did help you, but it wasn't just sand and clay. Again, that's a result of going out and getting the clay from the ground from one of the students' parents' property. You know, I mean, we did, again, the idea is that doesn't sound scientific, but that's, again, the way it would be in the real world. So in addition to clay, there's also silt. So here we see 2% by weight banana, coir, and sea silt fibers. And again, they look like it's a lot more than that. Probably by volume percent, it may be double those numbers, but it's still mostly sand and clay and silt. But that's what they looked like before we did the test. And these are on the order of maybe 2 by 4 or 5 inches. And we found out that those were actually too big for us to go all the way to failure point on our tensile machine. So here you see a 4% banana adobe brick. We tried to put them under compression, and we wanted to get to a compressive failure, but we found out that it exceeded our 20,000 pound limit on our tensile machine pretty quickly. So, but we could get to the point where it began to shear, and which is the point of failure in many ways in terms of where it's shifting and it's no longer stable. So this is in English units, not SI units, but we see some banana, coir, sea salt at 2%, and also some banana at 4%. One of the intriguing things, if you look at the top two figures for banana and the bottom two, there it appears that you can get too many fibers, and I think that relates to the fact you're not getting good bonding between that and the more amorphous material. So more fibers, in one sense, you might think of that as more strength if it was just the fibers themselves, but we're looking at the interfaces, and you have some interfacial problems here. So there is some sort of optimum value. I don't know that 2% is necessarily it, but 2% on the banana was considerably better than the 4%. In terms of its ability to resist shear failure. Now, we're not deliberately shearing it, we're compressing it, but then it kind of shears on its own, for lack of a better term, at about a 45 degree angle. So some of our conclusions we came to is adobe is a cheap material for building, that if you use these weight fibers, which would just be wasted, you will definitely strengthen it. It's strengthen its load carrying capability, which I think could be very useful. So hopefully this could provide some more durable housing. Again, it's probably going to dissolve away eventually. It's not going to be like my father-in-law's home is 110 years old. You know, these aren't going to last that long. But if they last 20 years into this four, you know, you've had a big deal. Also, the idea is that ultimately we could provide an extra source of income. So again, this is not my main research in natural fibers. I'm still looking at fiber-reinforced polymers for load-carrying capability in other ways. But the point is, I've been pleased with my students looking at water purification and now at adobe bricks as ways which you could also use. And to me, this is encouraging, the idea that you could use natural fibers not just in a typical reinforced plastic like a part of your car, which I think it could be used for eventually, but it could be used in all sorts of other ways. And to me, that is a great deal of encouragement. So I will have more student groups work on it. I have a master's student, my third master's student is doing more traditional research on this. He's looking at issues such as, can you improve the interface by chemically treating the fibers? And the answer, in short, is you can if you do it the right way. So some treatments make it worse, some make it better. And some make it better because they just make it rougher. Some make it better by doing something to help the fiber and the polymeric matrix bond together. So there's all sorts of things where we could go with this. We're still at what I would say is the beginning stages. I haven't found a lot of people doing banana stuff here in the United States. When I went to this conference in the Azores, there's a lot of people in India and Southeast Asia doing it, which is also places where there's lots of natural fibers, bananas as well as others. So there's a lot of work being done around the world, some in the U.S., but not as much. So some of the advantages are you can get a higher compressive strength. It will last longer, a slower rate of failure. And the point is there is some optimum value. We're not sure we have it yet, but the idea is just putting more and more fibers is not necessarily going to make it better and better and better. some future recommendation. I had someone say, well, did you heat treat or cure it in the furnace? And the answer is we didn't, but we're going to look at that. We're also going to look at various issues, and my graduate student is already, of drying the fibers in various ways before you put it into anything. And then also, we didn't do videos of the failure, but maybe do that just so we could see in a visual sense a little more of what's going on.
Okay.
So that's where we are right now.
Great.
Think we have some time for questions.
Yeah, 10 minutes for
questions.
Yes. The have you thought about the possibility insects might eat the fibers like termites and get into the house?
The answer to that is yes, we have, and I don't know what a good solution to that is. I mean, what some people do who don't use adobe but do use natural fiber reinforcement for houses would be to coat it in some fashion. You know, that might also be a way to keep it from dissolving away if you actually make it out of adobe. But yeah, that could be an issue. Now, hopefully, if you do a drying technique, you'll kill them, but that doesn't mean they can't just crawl right in, because it's a relatively porous material. Yes?
So the fibers should increase compression capability for the bricks.
Yes.
But you also said that the mass would drastically increase in like a rainy or a wet scenario. Would that even out the compression increase, or still stronger even in?
We didn't deliberately test wet ones. That certainly is something that we've thought about. I mean, we mainly did the moisture absorption to see what the fibers would do. We thought that's the biggest issue. And the fact that the banana fibers, in effect, triple their weight, you know, or more than triple their weight, made us see that the moisture could be a big issue. But at this point, all we did is we dried the fibers before we mixed them. Yeah?
I guess, you know, plastic films could be used for waterproofing and wrapping and things like that. What is your feeling about introducing plastic films into this environment?
I mean, there's environmental issues on that. There's also just that to some extent we'd go away from our goal to make this cheap. Yeah. And I think it's the latter. I'm not dismissing the environment one, but I think it's the latter one that will be a bigger hindrance to coding. You know, but again, if you can make it 10 years instead of 3, you've still made it an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to make this product as green as possible,
right.
Because a lot of places in the developing world have less pollution control than we have, and anything else you do to mess it up could be much more hurtful.
Right.
Yes?
You mentioned other countries that are looking at banana plant fibers.
Yeah.
Are they looking at different applications of banana plant
fibers? Well, it's interesting, this conference I went to in the Asia, there's a whole big group looking at clothing.
Oh.
Japan prints their currency on banana-based paper already. So there's all sorts of different things people have done with it. But it's been less on the structural area, which is my long-term more interest, yeah. But yeah, I was surprised how many natural fiber fabric people were at that conference. Yeah, that was a really big deal.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah. Other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Bill, thank you very much.